I am going into 2024 feeling better about my skin than I have in years. Being consistent with my Barefaced skincare is definitely paying off. Barefaced is medical-grade, results-driven skincare, and I love how simple the routine is. If you're curious and you want to commit this year to a brighter, more even texture, glowing skin, I highly recommend starting with the Bare Necessities Kit. That's what I did. The toning pads are a game changer, and Liquid Gold is by far the best vitamin C serum I've ever tried, and I've tried a lot. We love that the Barefaced team is a big fan of the podcast. They're offering Got It From My Mama listeners 15% off for your first purchase when you use the code MAMA15 at checkout. Just visit barefaced.com to learn more and be sure to use that code MAMA15. Well, this might just be one of the sweetest hours spent yet on the podcast. Brandon Lake is one of the biggest artists in Christian music right now. Gratitude, Graves in the Gardens, he wrote and performed some of Christian music's most popular songs. He has been blessed with the most incredibly kind and precious mama who truly has a heart for using her story for God's glory. Cindy Lake was born with a strong desire to be a mom, but after walking through disappointment after disappointment and multiple miscarriages, somehow she remained hopeful and strengthened in her faith. As excited as I am for you to hear this episode, I'm even more hopeful that you will use Cindy's story in the episode to encourage someone else who needs it. Well, I have kind of a fun story to start our interview with. So about a year and a half ago, my son Connor was making his Opry debut. A lot of times when it's an artist's very first appearance, they'll document it with camera crews and the whole thing. So he pulls up in the parking lot and they get the shot of him parking, and I'm watching it all, but I'm staying out of the way. But I think there's three different cameras on him, and then he stops and he talks to somebody in the parking lot forever. And I'm like, well, who would he be talking to? Camera crew on him, knowing they're waiting on him to, you know, walk in and follow him as he walks into the backstage of the Grand Ole Opry. And so he finishes talking, they give each other this big hug. And then when I finally get to talk to him, I'm like, Connor, who was that? That the crew was with? He goes, Mom, that was Brandon Lake. Which was so sweet. And he's just always been such a fan. And it was just, wow. Yeah. Well, I saw that precious video that Brandon posted recently, which was part of your testimony that you were able to share in a really detailed way, which is now on YouTube and people can look you up and find that. But I just knew when I saw that, I'm like, okay, this story is so special and I know will be so inspiring to other moms. So thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, it's always a joy to be able to talk about yourself. We don't get to do that very often. It's all, you're always pouring into other people. So yeah, my pleasure.
And of course, we all love our favorite topic, our children, right? Yes,
I could talk all day. Yeah.
Well, introduce me to your family. So of course, you know, we invite you on because you're Brandon's mom, but equally as important, you actually have three children, right?
I do. Well, I have a husband of 37 years, Mac, who was helping us get on this thing. We've been married 37 years and we have three children. Brandon is our oldest. And we have another son, Jordan, and then we have a daughter, Brianna.
Okay.
And our oldest, Brandon, and our baby girl, Brie, have our grandchildren, and we have six grandchildren.
Oh my goodness, there's six grandchildren now. And did I hear you say that you actually live in pretty close proximity to all of them?
We do. All of them live in the Charleston area. We pretty much have it covered, the four ends of the corner of Charleston. So within 20 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, everybody can be here at our house. So it's an incredible blessing. And every day we see it as that, because we know God could take them, you know, in ministry. He could take them anywhere at any time, you know.
So absolutely.
Favor every day.
So have you and your husband been in ministry the entire time that you've been married, all those 37 years?
We have. We have a very unique story, but from the very beginning, he was a youth pastor, and then he did seminary, And then
it's okay to say we, because I know the wife's role in seminary is a lot.
That's a lot. But yeah, so thankful I was able to do that work and so that he could get what the education he needed. And then from there went to be an assistant pastor at a church. And then we planted a church. And then God's just taken us to a couple different churches. He's been leadership development, started a church planning network.
And you guys met and married pretty young and pretty quick, right?
We did. I met Mac. I had gone off to college. And while I was away, he had moved to Charleston. And when I came back, it took me a couple months to get on my feet after coming back from school. And I decided, okay, I've got to get back into singles group and get back into being involved in church. Mm-hmm. And he tells the sweetest side of the story that he walked into singles group and saw me. And he said, looked at his friend and said, I've got to date her. So we connected and we were just incredible friends for 1 month. Just literally were together every day, hanging out as friends. And by the end of that month, I told my mom, I said, I am falling in love with this man. And soon after that, he told me on the front steps of my parents' house, I think I'm falling in love with you. And I said, I couldn't wait for you to tell me because I am in love with you. And within 4 months, we were married. So it was very fast. He waited till I turned 20. So as soon as I turned 20, we got married. And so from start to start, it was 6 months. Brandon and Brianna both were 20 years old when they got married. So really? Very, very unusual. But Mac likes to tell people that he raised me. So it's a disadvantage.
My favorite part of your story is how you have used the valleys in your life to be able to minister to other families, to other women, other couples, you and your husband, and some of the things that you dealt with either infertility or miscarriage. But tell me a little bit more about that, that desire in you to become a mom. Were you one of those little girls that always played with baby dolls and that mothering and nurturing was very natural to you?
Yes. Yes, very much so. Matter of fact, the earliest memory of my childhood, I see myself, I'm walking down the sidewalk in our neighborhood and I'm pushing a baby in a little stroller. And that desire to nurture and be a mama just grew and grew. Never got into the Barbie scene. I just love baby dolls, anything with a baby doll. And, yeah, I always had that desire. It never went away. And when I met Mac, of course, it was pretty quick. And so he really said, you know, he said, let's wait a couple years before we start a family so we can really get to know each other. And yeah, that's kind of where our story picks up, in that I did not have any idea that I would have a struggle there. I just felt like, well, I've always had this desire. It's a good desire. God talks about children being a blessing. And so I just figured we would never have any trouble. But yeah, that's not exactly what happened.
Well, and I don't think that that people talked as openly then when you would have been dealing with it, with miscarriages, about infertility and all of that. You know, after you were married and ready to start a family, it probably never entered your mind, like you said, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't just happen easily, naturally for you. And that was quite a road. Take me down kind of what you went through before the blessing of Brandon.
Well, before the blessing. We actually never planned to get pregnant. Like I said, we wanted to wait a couple years because we did get married so fast. Mac was in seminary. And so we just knew financially it wasn't wise. And we knew we would start a family. But I got pregnant really easy, which was a blessing. I could get pregnant really easy. And we just couldn't figure out how to keep from getting pregnant at that time. Lots of stuff and it didn't work. So I would get pregnant. And of course, the moment I found out, we were just overjoyed, so excited. But soon into the pregnancy, I lost him at different times. There was one, I was well into my third month. So, you know, you had to have that procedure and
it was
a little more, I was harder to deal with, but every time it would happen, I was so heartbroken. I knew enough that I would go let it all out to the Lord. And my story is very much like Hannah's in 1 Samuel. I never held back from sharing my heart with the Lord. And my mom had always taught me God can handle anything. He knows our heart anyway. So get it out and share with him and allow him to nurture you back to a healthy place. And so each time I would do that, I would pour my heart out to the Lord. And sure enough, before I would get off the floor, because, you know, it's just those when you are going through such desperate pain, it's you, your whole body grieves. And so I would just lay there and pour my heart out to him. And then by the end, much like the Psalms that David would share, he wrote about by the end of the prayer, he was saying, but God, I trust you. You are faithful. And I trust you with this. I trust you with this pain. And I would do that every time. I remember one time specifically that, and it was probably the third one that I went through. I was talking to the Lord about it, crying, pouring my heart out. And I just felt this sense of God's presence. And he told me in my spirit, he said, Cindy, I am going to bless you, but you have got to trust me. And right now, I just need you to lean into me and let this be a journey we're on in trusting me. And that enabled me, that gave me hope. I knew it was from him. And when I would read Hannah's story, that's exactly what she did. And I didn't even know about it at the beginning. She would pour her heart out where she was just crying to where they thought she was drunk. And then the Lord used the priest or whatever he was, rabbi or whatever, to speak over her. And so she was able to get up, wash her face, and move on. And sure enough, after that, she conceived. So that's pretty much what happened to me. I would just get up and we would just move ahead. And then when we got pregnant with Brandon, of course, it was a whole new journey of trusting God because I had wanted him so bad. And then, you know, fear kind of comes in. And so that was a whole new lesson.
Oh, I'm sure.
He would sweetly remind me that I am not going to use this pain for no reason. I am going to use this to show my glory. And you have to show me what that looks like, what that will look like. I didn't know if we would adopt. I didn't know if we would be foster parents. At that moment, I didn't know that I would actually be able to have my own children. Mm-hmm. But I knew that he would provide that deep desire in my heart to be a mama. Some way. Yeah.
You mentioned about praying really honest, angry, truthful prayers. Mm-hmm. Do you find that just in women's ministry in general? And not that men don't also struggle with the same thing, but that so often we think our prayers need to be these pretty little packaged, neat, you know, going through a ritual of how we talk to the Lord. But I love your reminder that it's that he wants our honesty. He can handle whatever we're going to throw at him.
That's right. That's right. That I'm learning a whole new meaning to the word lament, which is that deep heart grieving. It is painful, whatever the circumstances in your life. When you have a vision for something and it gets crushed, it's devastating. But I think that's when God wants to show himself faithful and real. That's when God really became real to me, because literally in my own flesh, I would have gone down a rabbit hole of negative doubt and probably even depression. And I feel like God just, he blessed me. He protected me from going down that road. And mm-hmm. I never dealt with that. And I'm so thankful for it. But I think that's because I was able to be real and just truly give it out to him, give everything out to him over and over and over again. But every time I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit bringing a peace in my heart, even when I didn't see the outcome. And that's truly nothing that we can ever have in the flesh. It comes from a personal relationship with him that Absolutely. He can give that. But yeah.
Right. And no matter what someone's journey is, it may not be miscarriage as it was for you, but whether it's divorce or disappointments in friendships or family relationships or whatever it may be, it applies in a whole lot of areas for sure.
That's right. That's right.
And you experienced those, you experienced miscarriages before you had Brandon, and then that wasn't the end of that journey. You still struggled. Yeah. You went on though to have two more children, your son Jordan, and then your daughter.
Yes.
How would you say that you see purpose in the valley that you went through and how you're able to minister to other people?
Wow. Honestly, it's funny. I just met with a precious 24-year-old girl the other day, and she had messaged me and she said, I just want to talk to you about God. And I said, okay, I'm there. I can talk about God. And so when I met with her, she said, I just want to hear your story. She had seen a little blurb that I think Brandon had put on, maybe the same one you saw. Uh-huh. She said, I wanted to hear about that. And so like the beginning, we love telling our story, and I think that's part of God's calling on each of our lives. Whatever he allows us to go through, he uses it so that we can encourage others and bring hope for others and spur them on, whatever the circumstance is. And so life is hard. I don't care who you are. You can't escape it. But right. We have the power of the Almighty God working on our behalf to bring all things to good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the privilege to be able to like sit with that 24-year-old young lady who's so hungry for God, but has her own challenges of waiting. I was able to say, you continue to pour your heart towards with the intimacy of God, seeking him every day and trusting him with what you desire. Don't chase that desire. Don't let that become a God. God knows that desire. He put it there for a reason, I believe. But you keep searching the heart of God and intimacy with him. And then you just watch him bring his glory in your time. He mm-hmm. will bring glory to whatever the situation is in some way. And I do think that's what God's done with our trial, is to just help people realize that God is real. He sees you. He sees you, mama. He sees you. He sees your heart. And he will bring the goodness of him to that situation. Just sometimes it looks different than what we expected, and the timing is different, but he is always faithful, always.
So beautiful. Okay, tell me a little bit about Mr. Young Brandon, his personality as a child, and was he super easy? I mean, we got to be real here, right? Was he feisty?
Yes.
Was he shy?
Oh, Brandon Lake, have you ever studied the personality types? Like,
oh yeah,
way back when in our early days, it was the lion, the golden retriever, the otter, and the beaver.
I remember those. Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, the lion is the strong leader, and well, Brandon Lake, from the day that child was born, was the otter. Brandon loved people. he probably never played with a single toy we ever bought for him because all he wanted to do was to be outside with other children playing. He loved riding his bike. He loved being around, usually older children. Thinking back, all his friends were usually a year or two older than him, but he was so full of life. And I remember my mom telling me one time, she said, "Don't you remember how wild Brandon was?" I said, "No, I don't." I said, "He was just a little boy. He was what he was supposed to be. He was wide open, loved people." To this day, Brandon has a very, his smile, what's that word? Infectious smile. Had that from the very beginning. He just loves life.
Yeah. It was interesting because I kind of wanted to ask you that. Has he always connected with people well? Like even as a child, connected with people? Because, you know, he'll talk a lot about like what he writes about. They may not be his own personal experience of something he walked through, but he connects with people so well and so intuitively that he's able to write to where we feel like he's writing our story or something that we can relate to. And I just wondered if you'd kind of always seen that connectability in him.
Yeah, I really have. Now, I know he is my own. And, looking back, there was something very special about his temperament, his personality. He was very inquisitive about learning what he wanted to learn about. And so he would put himself in situations where he could ask questions at an early age to learn, to grow. He, honestly, from the beginning, we knew he was a natural born leader.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. The fresh start of a new year always motivates me to think about ways to improve. From being more organized, eating healthier, or working on tough relationships, I'm such a firm believer that everyone needs someone unbiased to talk to about whatever weighs on you. And for us moms, that tends to be a lot. Like me, you are probably guilty of worrying about everyone else's emotional health and tend to neglect your own. But here's what I've learned as a mom. If we work on being the best version of ourselves, we're in a much better place to care for those around us. That's where BetterHelp comes in. It is therapy that is entirely online. It is convenient, flexible, and can be done at home in your comfy clothes. Just go online, fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And here's your motivation to get started. Visit BetterHelp.com/mymama today to get 10% off of your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/mymama. So if you guys follow our Instagram or watch these episodes on YouTube, you have met Tucker, our golden retriever who greets the podcast guests whenever they come over. Unfortunately, my little wild man loves to run through the woods on our property, and naturally he gets a little dirty, which means he doesn't smell great. Fortunately, I can sprinkle Coat Defense's daily preventative powder on Tucker. It's like a dry shampoo that almost acts like a repellent for dirt. Since we started using this, Tucker stays so much cleaner. He hardly ever scratches anymore, and we don't have to bathe him as often, which is good news for us and even better news for Tucker. We do love this product, and you can try it on your dog or your cat, even your horse, by visiting CoatDefense.com. Be sure to use the code MAMA15 for 15% off.
What could you have seen him being when he grew up? Like, it's always fun, you know, to talk about, you know, a little boy or maybe what he said he wanted to be, or what kind of conversations would he either have with you or did you think about him in that role?
I knew he always wanted to get married young.
Really?
He always knew. And it could be when he was a little boy, he had a lady prophesy over all of my kids. And this is when he was, gosh, he was in middle school. He walked in the room, walked across the room, and she said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Well, that's my oldest son." And she said, he is going to change the world with his music. And at that time, he played sports wholeheartedly. He was into sports. And I was like, "He don't even know what a piano is." And she said, "But he will also fall in love at a very young age and get married at a very young age." And I just thought, oh, that is so interesting. Sure enough, he did. But I don't know if back then, I didn't know what he was going to be. I don't think I ever thought about it. I knew he was going to change the world for Jesus because of his personality. And he had such a kind heart, still does.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a giver. I had a teacher just tell me, she was at his show last weekend, and she came up to me. She was his fourth grade teacher, and she told me some stories about him that I did not remember. But
oh, from being a child in her classroom?
About being a child in his classroom and how he handled the situation. He saw some child being bullied, and he was a good boy, always just had a heart. He was the one of my children. If he ever did anything wrong, I didn't have to worry about finding out because he would come to me. Within a couple hours, he always told on himself. Like I said, he was very much into sports. And then one day he came to Mac and I and he said that he wanted to give it up, that he wanted to play. I think he played guitar.
What were his sports? What was the big thing?
Basketball and baseball.
Okay.
Yeah. Basketball and baseball.
And he wanted to quit completely to maybe learn guitar?
He did. He wanted to just give it all up. And this was he was probably 12 maybe. And I was devastated because I love being on the sidelines. I love cheering him on. And so Mac and I both, we grieved. Thank goodness that's not the path he chose, that he went did what God was calling him to do. But that's that transition to that, we really grieved. And then Mac sat down with him one day when he said he wanted to pursue music, and he taught him the three chords.
Was Mac a musician at all, or played, or he just knew the basics?
Mac was a phenomenal singer. But the day he started preaching, he gave up singing. He knew three chords. So he taught Brandon the only three chords he knew. I don't even know what they are. I'm sure you know what they are.
Maybe C, E, and G or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And so, of course, Brandon just picked it up right away. Couple of weeks later, Brandon came back to Mac and said, okay, Dad, I've got this down. Let me show what I've been learning. So Mac was sitting down with him, and Mac said, well, let me show you this that I've been learning, because they were trying to spur each other on.
Uh-huh.
Mac started playing for Brandon, and Brandon said, Dad, you're hopeless. You're not going to be good at this.
Not very good.
So Mac put his guitar down, and then Brandon just continued to flourish. And
I'm sure you couldn't have imagined the path that was going to lead to.
No.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at rootsmusicrambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
As he got older, after he graduated from high school, he went to a worship art school in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. It was a year program. And so at that point, I thought, okay, because I had always seen he had a heart for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and just such a pure heart to live righteously, you know, to be a good guy and to just flourish in his relationship with the Lord. So I saw a pastor's heart. So when he went to school and he came back, I thought, okay, he'll be a worship pastor. Yes. He actually taught me a huge lesson when he was in high school. And I don't remember the details of it, but there was a teacher that was giving him a hard time. And, you know, he had the curly long hair.
That's always been around. I wanted to ask you that.
Not as long as it is now. It probably was about where my length is now.
Okay.
And so she just assumed that he was a party boy. And she was giving him a hard time. And I remember I wanted to go up to the school. I think Mac ended up going up there because she was so wrong. She had labeled him. Probably what it was is he was bored in her class. And I think he didn't turn in assignment. Actually, I think he didn't turn in an assignment. Anyway, she gave him a hard time because she thought he didn't care. He didn't have any ambition, that he was a party boy. I think back then we called them heads. that they smoke pot and stuff because of the way he looked. And that taught me the biggest lesson that you don't, you know, that what's that saying? You don't judge a book by its cover. Because if she had really gotten to know him, she would have seen that he was a precious young man that loved people, had a heart to help people, to be an encourager, always an encourager, just so opposite of what, how she labeled him because she didn't take the time. Now, not saying anything against teachers because, wow, they've got the hardest job in the world. And probably she had 30 something kids in that class and didn't have time for sure. But just that one incident, it made me realize, don't ever assume someone is a certain way just because they look different.
Right.
And that was a big lesson.
And then when did he kind of transition into actually writing worship music?
Brandon had such a desire to write music and to lead worship, to create worship experiences that is out of the box, that's not the norm. And, but yet he didn't pursue it. He didn't pursue that dream. He pursued learning. And so he would get himself around people that were further along the road and he would ask questions. And honestly, Jennifer, it was such a God thing because one day somebody invited him into a group text to come write some music. And he was one of many. And when he looked at that text and saw who the people were going to be in that room, he said, no way. There is no way they're inviting me to be in this room. It was a God thing. And that kind of was the beginning. He made some friends in that group, and it just started snowballing from there. So unexpected, because he never pursued the people that were ahead of him. He just watched them and tried to learn from them. God truly just opened the door, and it just seemed like he just kept opening doors with people that put him in the right place at the right time.
And God's still opening doors for him. I mean, when you just even step back and think about, you know, the Grammy Awards, the Dove Awards, the K-Love Awards, the number of plays, the charts he's on. Like, I mean, it really is quite unbelievable.
It really is. We are still in awe of what God's doing. Mac and I, he travels a lot with his company. He's a consultant. And I'll never forget, I went with him to California to do some work. And we turned on the radio station. It probably was K-Love, I think is one of those. And he was on the radio. And we were like pulling out our phones and we were taking a picture. And we both looked at each other and we said, we are listening to our son on the radio across our country. We couldn't believe it. But to this day, literally a couple of days ago, I got in the car and turned on and Gratitude was on. And I'm just like, Lord, thank you. Thank you. It never gets old. It always blows us away because it's truly been God's anointing, God's blessing. God could have chosen anyone to walk in his shoes. And by his grace, God allowed Brandon to walk where he's walking now. We don't know what the future is, but I will say Brandon works extremely hard. That child is never, his mind never turns off, which he's given him an incredible wife to help Brandon have some healthy boundaries, because it's very hard for him to turn off his creative mind. And you probably know that, but just,
It's a whole different level. And no matter how much you love what you do, but it's a different level of exhaustion, I think. And the, besides the traveling and the touring and all of that, but that simple fact that the creativity is always, and business of, I'm sure you've seen and worry a little bit about, just like I do, but the people pulling at them, the things that, you know, and I don't mean like fans, I mean like the business side of it all.
Yes.
It's a lot. They work so hard.
The great outweighs the negative so much.
Yeah.
But there are some negative sides to it. It is exhausting. And people that are close to us, I beg, please pray for covering around our family. Pray for a covering, because the enemy is always looking, always prowling. It comes in a lot of different forms. Then sometimes it hits really hard. When I see my children struggling, when I see people, you know, it's just hard when people attack your children.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter who or what the platform is, what the genre is. I mean, sometimes Christians can be the nastiest of all, I think, and being critical. You know, I always say it, but it's really, really hard to keep the mama bear intact when your children are attacked in any way.
Yeah. And I've not handled all the situations. There have been the feeds that I have kind of spoken in on. And Brandon gets he gets frustrated with me. If you asked him what is the hardest part, he would say he has told me over and over, I don't like when my family gets pulled into it. He said, never respond. He said, Mama, I'm okay. I'm strong. It doesn't bother me that churchy boy down the street thinks that I shouldn't have tattoos. It doesn't bother me, because I'm relating to those people who don't know Jesus. And so he's so good for me in that way, to help keep me like, okay, you're right. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I said, I will never respond to another comment again. I'll never read another comment. But then sometimes I just get sucked into it.
Sometimes you just end up, you know, scrolling a little too far on that feed and seeing something that you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Because there are rules and parameters around what's okay for a mom to type back or not. So you have to be like, oh, I hope I don't need to see that.
yeah, that's right.
So you shared the story about being in California, hearing him on the radio for one of the first times, which I know that had to be a thrill. What is another one of those moments, either somewhere that he played and you guys were at the concert, or maybe it was a big arena or auditorium or something, where you just stepped back and were just like, wow, you know, but God, right? I mean, like, what? Only God could do this.
That's right. I would say every single time we go to one of his concerts, and every time, oh, sweet side note, every summer so far, it's been two summers, he has brought Mac and I with Brittany and the boys on his tour bus. He'll rent just a bus for us. And so we get to be there for a whole week of tour.
Oh, that's so fun.
Most incredible experience. And just to get to know the team, he travels with his miracle boys, is what he calls them. Uh-huh. Incredible godly men, same season of life, all have young children, all want healthy marriages through this to thrive. Anyway, sidetrack.
Do you help? That's a great sidetrack. So do you help with the kids, or is it just for you to enjoy the tour?
I mean, I guess we do a little bit. I don't know. We're all together. So yeah, we do help with the kids here at home. I feel like that is part of my ministry now, is just pouring into my children, being parents and supporting them in that role. To get back to your question, every time we're in that auditorium and the song he does, but at the end of it, he says, "So I will lift up my hands." And
So I throw up my hands.
Yes. That entire auditorium is all color, all ages. The diversity is unbelievable in that auditorium.
Right.
Everybody is worshiping God. Everybody is praising the Lord with everything they've got in their being. That is an aha moment for me every time, because God has allowed and blessed my son to bring them into that moment of unity.
Right. And how often are we as a world and a community, and, you know, can we really use that word unity?
Yeah. That's the very thing. The last thing Jesus prayed for us as Christians, that we would be unified and love each other. And Brandon gets to do that. Every night he's on tour, he gets to bring all those different people together. And so I love that. Is I'm always in awe. I sometimes look at him on stage and I'm like, I don't really believe that's my son.
I feel the same way.
I can't even comprehend it. And he goes into such a different place right after he gets off stage. He's so hyped up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a different person. It's the way it's supposed to be, because he is just so, and I'll tell you, moments before, every time he says, I am so nervous. We were at the Greenville show this past weekend. And again, he said, we were back there with him, and it was like about 20 minutes before he went on. And he said, I am so nauseated. I'm so nervous.
But still, to this day, no matter the size of arenas and places that he's played, he still feels that way before stepping on stage.
Yes.
Wow.
But he says something happens, and by the time he walks around, it makes me want to cry. And before he steps on that stage, the Holy Spirit comes over him. There's a peace that comes over him, and he does what God's called him to do.
Wow.
And so I think I said something. I'm so glad that you still have that feeling of butterflies and because that means you're still dependent on God. Yes.
Yeah. That is a beautiful way to word that. Absolutely. Wow. Would you say that, supporting the kids and the grandkids and the fact that you all live there in the same community, which is so amazing. Yeah. Would you say that that is probably the biggest way that you support Brandon now, having an adult son?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Being there for Brittany. Well, for him. But Brittany is a phenomenal wife. She is more. You're talking about Ephesians 3. When you pray for your children, who they married to be. God gave us Ephesians 3 with Brittany and our other son-in-law, which, by the way, was Brandon's best friend all growing up.
Oh, his sister married his best friend growing up?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
His name's Michael, and he sent us a video because they need it for something they're doing for Brandon. We have a video of Brianna. She's probably 7 years old. She couldn't be seven because Michael was about 12. So they're 5 years different. So older than seven. Anyway, she's videoing Brandon and Michael playing the guitar on his bed in their bedroom. But anyway, Brittany and Michael are more than we could ever ask or imagined. And she wants to be hands-on mother and do it all and do it well. She does it well. But there are times, that we are able to get in there and pick the boys up from ball practice. Both her boys, older boys, are extremely athletic and very good, very gifted. And so they're in a lot of, on Saturdays, they literally can be in basketball, soccer, and football all in one day.
Oh my goodness. Is that really hard for Brandon to miss those days?
Oh, so hard. I think that's where a lot of guilt comes in.
That's the sacrifice that people don't see. One of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so hard. That's probably the hardest thing. And especially having Banner that's, you know, a year old. Mm-hmm. They all adore Brandon to death. And to miss, you know, a lot of things. Yeah, it's really hard.
Some of those crucial days. You mentioned, of course, his best friend growing up is now a part of the family. But does he also have people on his team or people that he surrounded himself with that he grew up with or even family members?
Yes. One of the best advice that was given to Brandon and Brittany early on, and there's couples that are way far down the road than Brandon and Brittany have mm-hmm. spoken into them. Another blessing that God just so graciously put them in relationship with. And one of the things that they said, the importance of surrounding yourself with healthy friendships, and especially yes. here at home, our home church, Seacoast, first of all, they love Brandon and Brittany, support them, provide, and this kind of sounds funny, provide a place where they're just normal people. They mm-hmm. do not treat Brandon as a celebrity. They don't treat them as anything special. When he leads worship, probably once a month, maybe once every 2 months.
He still does that.
He still does that. He'll mm-hmm. lead one song. He won't even, it's not like the Brandon show. And that is so healthy for him. Yes. And his team, the guys that he travels with, the band, mm-hmm. several of them, two of them live here, go to Seacoast. Like I said earlier, they're in the same season of life. They yes. want to thrive in this season of ministry. And so they hold each other accountable to live as godly as we can and call each other out. One of the fellas on the band that doesn't live here, his name's David. David was Brandon's friend when he was junior high school, when he started in music. Uh-huh. And they would play in a band in our garage. And loud. And I just saw David this weekend. I said, David, do you remember when y'all were going through that screaming phase? The music where they just screamed.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I never told you this, but Brandon would come inside the house and I'd say, oh, Brandon, please don't do that screaming. Tell David to scream, but you don't scream because it's going to hurt your voice.
Oh my goodness. That's so funny.
Brandon said, I remember Mama, you saying, I know you say it's Christian music, but I can't understand what you're saying. So it just hurts my heart. I don't remember saying that, but he said, that's what I said. Why did Brandon destroy his vocal cords before he even got started?
Well, you were smart to give him that advice. That's for sure. So what would you say? This is the question I love to ask all of my guests, but what would you say that Brandon got from his mama?
That's a good question. I had to think because he is so much like his daddy. He is
really
a natural born leader and thinks outside the box like his daddy. Loves people. Brandon has an incredible anointing on his ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. I think his, what do you call that? The speaking is, anyway, he's very gifted in that too and sounds just like his daddy, which, but this is about me, not his daddy. First thing is, he definitely got my curly hair, although I pull my curl out. But
if you just dried your hair, it would be super curly like his.
Oh, yeah.
Straightening a little bit. Yes. Okay.
Except it doesn't go down. Mine goes out like a lion's mane.
You have to control it somehow, right?
Yeah. So I pull my curl out as much as I can. So that's the first thing. And he is so known by his curls. It's so funny. Brandon has my emotions.
Oh.
He is incredibly emotional. But I think that's one of the things that makes him such a phenomenal worship leader, because he feels, and he feels for people. He actually, it's a funny story. when he was in high school, because I'm very emotional, he told me one day, he said, "Mama, I am emotional like you. And so when I tell you something, I need you to be even keel." He said, "I don't need you to get overexcited and I don't need you to get really sad." He said, "I need you to be solid for me and not be over emotional because you're going to help me." And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a lesson I need to learn for all my teenagers, for, you know, dealing with people. Don't be way up and way low, because, you know, they're like that as a teenager. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's easy. You know, we talk a lot about like not getting on the roller coaster. And when you're wired the way that you and I both are, actually, then it's easy because you're matching his emotion. And that's the way, yes, I think we're naturally wired. But how insightful for Brandon to know that what he needed from his mom was just steady.
Yeah.
And be steady. When you feel be deeply. Steady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does. It does, I think, make an incredible worship leader to have that emotion. And yeah. So I love that about him. And then the other thing I can think of that is very much like me, he is a foodie.
Oh.
He loves good food.
Okay.
So he loves
food. You live in a great place in Charleston to try and have all kinds of things.
Yes.
Yes. We were there not long ago. And hold on. Let me think of my very favorite. Obstinate Daughter.
Oh my goodness, on Sullivan's Island.
Yes, it was so yummy. We went twice and we were only there for 4 days, but we went right back because it was so good.
Well, you picked a good one. It's really good.
And it's amazing to me how he's been able to be so successful in his career, to still live in Charleston, which is really hard to do when so much of the production and everything is coming out of Nashville, here where I am. And the fact that he's able, I know he's here a lot, but the way that he's been able to balance and stay home. And I know that must make you incredibly grateful that he didn't, he and Brittany didn't take the boys and end up, you know, living here long term. So
I'm crossing my fingers. They bought some property out on a farm to kind of help them get away. And I think he's got a lot of ideas and plans to have a studio and have people come here. So hopefully that'll keep them planted here.
Yeah.
And to watch him be a daddy and love his wife, he is determined to do it well. Mm. And I love that.
That probably makes you just about as proud as anything else. Oh,
so proud. Mm. I could never be more proud. If he never got on stage again, I don't care. It's how he loves his wife and his children that make me the proudest.
Thank you for your time and just sharing your heart. And maybe we can meet up and grab that coffee in downtown Franklin, right?
I would absolutely love it. Thank you, Jenna, for a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So what you didn't hear in that episode is that as we wrapped up, Cindy asked if she could pray for my family. And right there over Zoom, she prayed the most beautiful prayer, specifically for Connor and his precious fiance, Leah. Cindy knows the road ahead for them with a life in the spotlight and on the road won't be easy. And I cannot tell you how much her prayer meant to me as a mom. Hey, if you know someone who's struggling with infertility, pregnancy loss, or just repeated disappointments in life, I really encourage you to share this episode with them. I just know that Cindy's testimony is going to encourage so many people. Thanks for listening. I'll see you back here next week.